In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's gospel reading is about a banquet, and I guess I'm inclined to do what it is most of us do when we're eating. What do you do when you're eating? At least we do this around our house. We always talk about what our next meal is going to be. And with that little bit of inspiration, I think other ethnic people do that too, I would assume. With that bit of inspiration, I wanted to fast forward a couple of months and talk about our crab feed. For those who are unfamiliar with Bay Area traditions, the crab feed is a typical midwinter social gathering, and we have one here. And it consists of five very important courses, all of them delicious, none of them recommended by your doctor. And it starts out with garlic bread drenched in butter, and then there is salad, which I suppose gives the illusion of healthiness, although it's drenched in very, very nice dressing. Then there is the pasta, also drenched in butter and cheese, the crab, and we round it out with an ice cream confectionery. And typically in this neck of the woods, it's an Itzit bar. Now, I don't mean to torture you talking about food as we are just getting ready to finish up the fast, but it's a nice thing to look forward to. We always tell people, come to the crab feed, come to the table. Don't miss out. It's a wonderful event. It's great food and fellowship. And we also remind people and encourage them to invite a friend. While you're at it, bring a friend to the crab feed. And this morning I wanted to look at the gospel reading, which is about a banquet, from the prism of a five-course meal, maybe a five-course crab feed, and think about it, and think about the gospel reading from that kind of a food-oriented perspective. Well, the first course is garlic bread. Everybody knows what it looks like. Everybody knows it tastes good. It's easy to eat. And certainly, as I demonstrated yesterday at our Hope and Joy gathering, where we had wonderful food, vegan garlic bread, as a matter of fact, but as I demonstrated, garlic bread is something you'll eat even when you're not hungry because it tastes so good. Well, the first course of this morning's sermon is just as easy to digest and just as easy to understand. It is probably the principal reason that Jesus preached this parable to those around him. And it was the very easy to understand concept that there would be people among him, people of his own faith, who even though the banquet table was ready, even though it had been prepared, even though they were invited, they would find an excuse not to come to the dinner. But that's just the first course. Then there's the salad. And the salad, if you will, is an essential bridge to clearing the palate between the garlic bread and the pasta. But in this case, the second course of our meal has to do with the people who were not Jewish, but still neglected the message of the gospel. Those who lived just after the ministry of Jesus, during the time of the apostles, and even to this day. There are people who continue to reject the invitation to come to the banquet table, to come to the kingdom of God and experience the living God. They reject that invitation for all kinds of reason. And so this parable is a, if you will, a foretaste, a warning of what is to come. It was true during the time of the apostles. It is true today. Lots and lots of people know about Jesus, have heard about him, have even been invited. They even know they need something in their life to change their life, and yet they make excuses for not coming to the table. Next, the pasta. Now, lots of people want to skip the pasta at the crab feed to make room for the crab. But forget it, if you have the garlic bread and the salad, it's too late anyway. Eat the pasta. It's heavy, though. It's a little bit heavy. And it takes some time to eat it. Pasta's always a little bit of work. You think the crabs work, but try eating pasta without getting it on your shirt. And here's really the heavy part. The heavy part of our food-oriented understanding of this banquet parable, and it's this. There are in the world today, as there have been in every generation, people who self-identify as Christians who still refuse to come to the banquet table. They've got one foot in and one foot out. And they probably know they should commit to their faith. They know that they should give their life over to Christ. They know that it's time to put aside the sins of their youth and move on with life. And yet, it's just too hard. It's too heavy. It's like eating that big bowl of pasta. And so we keep one foot in the world, one foot in God's kingdom, and we never make it to the table. This morning you have the excuses. I just bought a field. I've got to take care of it. And that's one of our excuses. We've got worldly cares. We have to take care of them. But the truth of the matter is the field will wait till tomorrow or the next day. God's kingdom is for right now. And so that person who made the excuse about having a field should have said, you know, 2 days of weeding and watering won't matter, but being in the presence of this glorious banquet is exactly what I need. And then there's the guy with the 5 yoke of oxen. And that's a little bit of a metaphor for the way lots of Christians live. They know the banquet's there. They know they should be there in the presence of everyone else. But they'd rather walk around in the barnyard of their habitual sins. They're used to the smell. They've got to take care of their cattle after all. Little did they know that if they would walk into the banquet, it's sweet-smelling and glorious. There are lit candles, sumptuous food. And then there's the seemingly good excuse, I've just taken a wife. Well, that's an okay excuse, I suppose, except the Lord has never asked us to choose him over family or family over him. He doesn't want us to put anything ahead of him, however. This is the whole point of, or one of the points of the story of Abraham and Isaac. God goes through this whole rigmarole, if you will, of testing Abraham just to remind him that nothing should come before God. Even your family, even your child of promise. And so yes, I've just taken a wife. Well, that's great. I'll tell you what, if you come to the banquet and taste of the banquet, you'll go home and be a much better husband than you would have been before that. And that's true for those of us Christians who say, well, I can't do this or that with regard to my faith because of my family. I will guarantee, practice your faith first, commit yourself to God. You will be a better brother, sister, aunt, uncle, husband, wife, godparent, child. Fill in the blank. Now I know that for those of us who are trying to live as Christians but still have excuses, I know it can be burdensome to turn loose of some of these reasons. It's hard. It's humbling. But the truth is, unless we do it, we'll never eat that plate of pasta and we'll never really appreciate the main course. Because what is the main course? From the perspective of today's interpretation of this parable, the main course is this. When the servants are told, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. That's the main course. That's the crab. That's why you and I are here. Please don't think that you and I are here simply for our own salvation, to acquire simply some level of peace of mind, to only grow closer to Christ. That is part of it, But quite frankly, we are here today. We exist as a church for the benefit of the salvation of the world. That's the call that we've been given. That's our charge. That's our job. I have shared with you the words of one modern author who says the church exists for the benefit of those who are not already members. And that's true. You and I, in our own way, are called to be apostles. We are part of this church so that the good news can be shared with others and others can be invited to the table. St. Paul reminds us of this in this morning's epistle reading. What does he say? He says, here there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man. Christ is all and in all. So the message that you and I cling so dearly to, that message that shapes my life and yours, that message is for everybody, and we have a responsibility to share that message with others. And as one will discover, just as it was worth waiting for that crab and how good it tastes very good to share the gospel with people whom we love, people whom we know, to create a community that welcomes people, invites people, and quite frankly, by the grace of God, saves people. And then there's dessert. Dessert kind of ties it all together. And that dessert this morning is this. It's the recognition that as we sit here today, you and I are both invitees to the banquet, and we are servants called to invite others. The more you and I see our role as invitees and come to the table, partake of the kingdom, live the life in Christ, the more that we do that, the more that we really understand why the person who has set this banquet table for us, or in this case, God who has set the banquet table for us, the more we understand why he wants us to invite others. The more we taste of the kingdom, the more we understand how it is we are to be those servants. The more we experience this fellowship with one another, this community, this communion, and the more we invite others to it, the more we honor the one, with a capital O, who is giving this banquet. And by the way, just as some people sneak around and decide if they can steal an extra itzit bar or not, well, you can never be too much an invitee. We can never be too much a servant. We can never come to the table often enough, and we can never work hard enough to invite other people into that experience of the kingdom. So in about 3 months or so, I guess we will be partaking of a delicious 5-course meal that we call the crab feet. And I hope all of us will come. If you're allergic to seafood, we can arrange an alternate meal for you, by the way. But today we have our own 5-course meal to consider. It's based on the Lord's invitation, his invitation to salvation. An invitation that was embraced by some of his people and rejected by others. An invitation that has been embraced and rejected by Gentiles from the first century forward. An invitation that asks those of us who self-identify as Christians to leave behind our worldly cares, our fields, our animals, our so-called family responsibilities that are just really excuses, and come to the banquet so that we can do all those things in our life better anyway, tend our fields better, raise our livestock better, be better family members. It's an invitation to us, to you and to me, to people in all places, because as St. Paul tells us, Christ is all and in all. The invitation extended this morning is the same one that we will extend beginning in early 2019. Come to the table. Don't miss out on the opportunity And while you're at it, bring a friend.